Welcome to the 411 Sports World Podcast. Today is Saturday, August 22nd, 2015. I'm your host, Mr. 411, and as always, my tag team partners, Lacey Dawson and Zach.
Greetings.
Go Dawgs!
We hope everyone is enjoying this football Saturday. Lots of preseason action going on. And we definitely appreciate you tuning in, listening to our podcast. Today, we are going to cover the American Football Conference Western Division. We will send you over to San Diego, Oakland, Kansas City, and the state of Colorado. Our first team that we're going to cover today, the Oakland Raiders, the Silver and Black Attack. Lacey, please kick the show off.
Yes. The Oakland Raiders have been very much a disappointment to their fans for the for almost as long as I can remember. And I'm hoping that things will pick up for them a little bit this season, because the bar is set so low, you know, anything is an improvement, and I feel that they have improved. They got rid of Darren McFadden, who was doing them no favors, and they got rid of Denarius Moore. But they replaced Darren McFadden with a combination of Trent Richardson and Roy Helu, which could be exactly what Oakland needs. You know, along with Latavius Murray, this is going to be a committee, which is becoming the standard in the NFL. But it could be successful, which Darren McFadden has not been in a long time.
That's true.
So the receiving core, they've upgraded. They've got this rookie, Amari Cooper. Everybody's talking about him. Everybody's, you know, expecting great things out of him. It seems like he's really developing and coming along in the training camps. I mean, you know, the team is excited. You know, the Raider Nation or whatever they are is excited. And I'm happy for them. They need to have something to be excited about. Derek Carr, they've added Christian Ponder to give him a legitimate backup. They've got, offensively, they've got a really good squad. I would take this squad, you know, in some ways. Derek Carr is still a young quarterback. He's still going to be finding his way. But they surrounded him with some talent, that can hopefully, you know, give him some confidence and get them to put some points up on the board, which is something that they really need, you know, to get their confidence up. On the flip side of that, you know, the defense is actually better, but the secondary is still bad. So, you know, Oakland's going to have the twin problems of trying to hold somebody and then also trying to outscore somebody, and that's going to be very difficult for them it's going to be difficult for them to do either one of them consistently. They're going
right.
to, you know, the AFC East, the AFC West is playing the NFC North and the AFC North, and that does not bode well for Oakland, and they already play in a really tough division. This division is really good. You know, they're tough. They all have good defenses, even Oakland, and you know they're going to play each other hard. Oakland's going to have some issues in their division. I don't see anybody in their division that's actually beatable for them. But I think they'll be in every game, if that's any consolation, which, you know, as a fan, I know it's not a lot of consolation. But they also have to, you know, go to play the NFC North and the AFC North, and one of those is just a defensive battle conference, kind of like their own, and the
right.
other one is a high-scoring conference. You know, their own. You know, some elements of that are in their own. It's going to be hard for them to win these games. I think they'll be in them. I think they'll be close, and I think they'll give their fans something to cheer about. You know, so they're on the right track, but they're not there yet. And I find that this season, shouldn't be disappointing, because I believe that they're gonna end up somewhere around 5-11. That's my opinion.
So that's very respectable.
It is very respectable. And so people, you won't get disappointed if you're not, you know, you haven't set your sights too high. If you're just wanting to get better, they've gotten better. So I think the Raiders fans should be happy about that. And I hope that they are. But that's really all I can say about the Raiders.
Oh, well, that was well stated.
Thank you.
So Zach, what are your thoughts of the Raiders?
Well, Lacey didn't give us her fantasy outlook of any of the Raiders players.
Well,
there might be a reason for that.
There is. I mean, there's some bright spots here, but none of these are. Oh, for the most part, people that you're going to be able to consistently count on. Everybody here can be a backup. Amari Cooper, you know, it just remains to be seen how he plays in a real game against people who are, you know, trying to win, you know. So he hasn't been tested yet. Murray, you know, he has some of the right parts, but Oakland tends to fall behind because of that secondary. And, you know, I don't know how much time they're going to be able to spend on the field. So.
What are your thoughts on Janikowski?
Oh, yeah, that's an excellent option. Yes, that's the best option on the team. You can on Cooper if you want to, but you know, I don't think that's going to pan into any great point totals for you. But you know, as a bye week fill-in, sure, you know.
Mm, okay.
So that's fantasy wise, this is not really, you shouldn't really be looking at this team for much other than, as you said, the kicker.
Okay. Well, we definitely appreciate that, Tip. I have an upcoming draft, and I'm going to definitely make sure I, you know, try my best to avoid any Raiders.
Yes, and since we're in that draft together, I would suggest that you know, buy high. Go for it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Zach, it's your turn.
Well, I could sit here and give a long, drawn-out, I guess, debate or information about the Raiders, but it's no real reason to. The Raiders are the Raiders are the Raiders.
Are you sure you're going to pass up this opportunity?
So if you're going to go with a weakness, their weakness is they're the Raiders. For years, Al Davis was involved in the organization, making questionable decisions, changing coaches almost every year. Bad draft. They're just the good thing for the Raiders now, Raider Nation, is it looks like they're finally starting to get it. They're finally starting to, as an organization, build a foundation. But it's going to take time, and hopefully they have the right quarterback. So the weakness is the Raider organization or the Raiders themselves. But a strength, I like Derek Carr. I'm sorry, I'll go back just to some of the weaknesses that that the organization does on itself. You might notice that this season they picked up Trent Richardson, Christian Ponder, Michael Crabtree.
Cool.
All guys, Christian Ponder, Trent Richardson, and Michael Crabtree.
Mm-hmm.
All guys that ain't going to help you win nothing. And they've already proved that. But the Raiders brought them on, I guess because they're good guys, which says something, but those are roster spots that probably could have been better served of trying to develop some younger players. But that's what the Raiders do. On the plus side, when you look at their draft, they have drafted possibly their quarterback of the future, Derek Carr. Too early to say what he is going to be, but he's at least got potential. So you go with that. This year, getting Amari Cooper was very nice. So you gave your young quarterback a target that hopefully they can grow together. If they both end up at least being average NFL players, that's good. And Khalid Mack, who should have been the number one draft pick overall last year and playing in Houston, the Raiders got lucky. They have him. He is a building block for them. So those things would be their strength. And with that said, when that's your strength, you're going to finish 2-14. So, Raiders, challenging for the number one draft pick, which I don't even know if there's anybody out there this year that you really want to get at the number one spot that is a franchise changer like that. But there you go, 2-14 and a running for the number one draft pick.
My goodness. Well, when they be competitive in their games, because with a 2-14 season looming, you have all these ticket, you know, season ticket holders, and that just give them a glimpse of hope. Will they be competitive in many of these games, or will those records definitely? Okay.
It's the NFL. Most, I mean, they're all professional players. Unless you just got a pathetic team, you're usually going to be pretty competitive. Coaches and everything, everybody's pretty professional. Everybody usually prepares. But will there be some blowouts on there? Yeah. Will they make some games with some guys better than what it should be? Yeah, because they're probably not going to be getting too excited about playing the Raiders, so they could sneak up on them. But I can see them losing most of their games by a 10-point margin. So if you want to say that's competitive, sure. I don't think they're going to go out and get blowed out by 30, but you don't really see that with NFL teams anyway on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lot of losses.
Wow. Okay. Well, we appreciate that insight. And now that it's my turn, I'd just like to start off with just saying one of my favorite things about the Raiders, outside of the silver and black uniforms, which I think are either first or the second best uniforms in professional football, this is the one rare team that remains in the league that plays at least part of their season with the baseball diamond on their field. That's just a little nugget I like to throw out there about the Oakland Raiders. But I see them winning four games. I have them at 4-12. And basically, the reason I have them at 4-12 is offensively, last season, they scored 15 points per game, which puts them at dead last in total, dead last in the NFL with total offense. So they're not going to get much better than that overnight. Even though they drafted Amari Cooper, they have Murray at running back, two good young pieces. Derek Carr, he seems to be a solid quarterback, but he's also he's in that learning stage as well, and he's going to have to learn along with Cooper. So. I just see the Raiders. They'll give a great effort. They have a wonderful fan base. However, the majority of the opponents that they face will just outmatch them as far as talent. Mac, he's another great young piece. So as far as strengths go for the Raiders, they have youth, and they're making a solid youth movement. But that will take time. And for 2015, exactly. And for 2015 is not that time. Jack Del Rio, nice decision there at head coach. He will be fiery, and he'll have that Raiders spirit. But it just won't be enough for the Raiders. So I'm going to close that out with a 4-12 record. It seems like we are in agreement that the Raiders will be the team that finishes fourth in this division. So, leaving Oakland and heading over to San Diego.
Oh, so we're going to stay in California? All
right. Yeah, we're going to stay in the same state. And there's word on the street that this team may play in Los Angeles sooner than later. Also, the team we just finished covering may move back to Los Angeles. But the Chargers are a team. This is an intriguing team here. And Zach, I want you to kick this one off for us about the Chargers. Give us some strengths, weaknesses, and your prediction.
Well, if you're going to go with strength, the first thing you have to look at is when you look at them will be Phillip Rivers, and he is their strength. It's a quarterback league, quarterback coach league. Coach is still a young guy. Mike McCoy is – we're still figuring out exactly what he is. But Rivers has been around for a while, and
okay.
to be honest, if Rivers had a Super Bowl, you'd probably put him in the elite category, and sometimes mm-hmm. that's all it takes. But
good point.
Right now you wouldn't say he's elite because he didn't have a Super Bowl, but other than that, his performance has been pretty good on the field. He just got a 4-year deal, $84 million, I want to say $65 million guaranteed. So that was a great job by San Diego.
Yeah, it was.
With him. And he's going to, I mean, how their season goes is going to be dictated off of Philip Rivers. If we go on weakness, I'm not going to say that they're the strongest team, but they
okay.
don't necessarily have big weaknesses that are going to kill them like that. They're going to be in the hunt for the AFC West title. They're going to be in the hunt for a playoff spot. And
mm-hmm.
depending on how stuff goes, they may actually be in the hunt for something bigger come postseason.
Wow.
It's just going to depend on how it shakes out. Like Gates, I believe they're going to lose him for a while because of a suspension.
Yes, fair games. Mm-hmm.
That will – you got to see how they're going to handle that. But him and Philip Rivers have a good connection as far as that. Man, the wide receiver is slipping my mind right now. I want to say they got him out of California.
Keenan Allen, Malcolm Floyd,
yeah.
Stevie Johnson.
There you go, Keenan Allen.
Uh-huh.
Good wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They also picked up Melvin Gordon out of Wisconsin
yeah.
to help them with their running game, which
they did.
If you are a believer in that, he should be okay. So the offense should be good. Defense should be respectable. I'm not telling you it's going to be great, but the defense will be respectable, and it's just going to come down to Rivers and what
yeah.
Rivers can do to put Rivers kind of like in that Eli category. Can Rivers have one of those magical runs where he is just so great in the playoffs? Or if you want to say Flacco, can he do something like that? Or can he be like that
mm-hmm.
down the stretch where he's just so good that he makes up for the rest of the team? So I say, you take Rivers off of this team, they're nothing special. But that's what the NFL is. A quarterback can make all the difference in the world. And with that said, I do have I've got San Diego finishing third in the division, and they're going to be 10-6.
10-6. That's pretty impressive.
Mm.
But
very impressive.
If they were to win the division, or if they were to make the playoffs, because I got them just outside the playoffs also, I wouldn't be surprised. It just will depend on Rivers. Does he, you know, is he motivated now that he has this money to take care of his wife and his 8 kids, or does he get satisfied? So we'll see.
Well, your question will be answered this season.
Does he really have 8 kids?
Yeah, he really does have 8 kids from the reports I heard.
That's a motivation.
Yeah, that's tremendous. Hey, great research, says that.
Yeah. I like that. I'm going to tick it up a couple of notches because that's some great motivation to stay out of the house. 8 damn kids? Are you kidding me? That poor woman.
Wow. Well, Lacey, what are your thoughts on the Chargers?
San Diego, in my opinion, is on the brink of it. They are on the brink of breaking out and finally getting to the next level. They made some changes in the offseason. I don't – just looking at the things that they lost, Ryan Matthews and Eddie Royal, they picked up Stevie Johnson, Jacoby Jones, and they got Melvin Gordon, who's supposed to be solid. I feel like they replaced what they lost, and in some ways it's possible that it's an upgrade.
Okay.
As far as the offense goes, as Zach said so eloquently, Phillip Rivers is the team. So he's there. It seems like he's happy. Now I find out he has 8 kids. He has motivation to to stay out of the house, stay on the field. He's going to have a good work ethic because he's going to be there early and stay late, you know, with all the damn kids at home. I understand it. But, you know, with Gates out that for the first four games, that's going to be an adjustment. But he's got a good rapport with Green as well. So I feel that San Diego has either, you know, stayed the same or even upgraded at some key positions, and that they are right on the verge of it. You know, if like you said, if Rivers plays like he always does, you know, I would have preferred that he was playing for the money. I would prefer they paid him after the season as opposed to before him. But he's got all those mouths to feed, so he needed that money. And I feel that they're going to have a very good year. I think that most of the players and the team, they want to stay in San Diego, and I think they want to, you know, that gives them some incentive to prove that they belong there, to bring some, you know, some postseason play to that city, just to kind of make their point that they belong there, that this is for San Diego. They have a really good secondary. They're in a tough division, but they have proven through the years that they can hang with all of these guys. I think in the division they go 4-2. I think they split with Denver and Kansas City, and Oakland just can't handle them. Looking at the AFC North and the NFC North, these teams, the NFC North, they play the way San Diego plays. So if you're looking for a gunslinger, you know he's got a gun too. So I think that San Diego does well against that division. They don't have so much defense, which San Diego does have. As far as the AFC North goes, you know, they're going to have some slugfest with Baltimore, Pittsburgh. They're going to have a shootout. And San Diego has the weapons to win the shootout. They have the weapons to take a team like Baltimore, as good as Baltimore is. I'm not saying that they aren't, but they got the potential to really outscore them. And
right.
They've got a lot of weapons, and they've got, you know, a really good quarterback. I have San Diego – I also have them at 10-6. I want to give them a tick up to 11-5, but I can't because of we just haven't seen what Gordon's going to do. They need that running game to make everything else click. They have to have that. If for some reason that doesn't work out, then that changes things. But as long as I'm going to go on, based on the assumption that they're going to have a decent running game, I have San Diego 10-6, and I have them finishing second in the division.
Okay.
As far as fantasy wise, you know, you got a lot to choose from here. You got Phillip Rivers. You've got you can take a chance on Melvin Gordon. I would take a chance on him in round six or so, after I've got, you know, two running backs that I know are going to pan out. Well, you know, that I have a good feeling about, as opposed to rookies are hard to it's hard to figure out what they're going to do. Keenan Allen was studly last year. I think he'll repeat that performance. Stevie Johnson. I'm just saying, Phillip Rivers is gonna be throwing that ball to everybody. So you may not get stud numbers, but you should get consistent numbers out of any of these receivers. While Gates is out, Green is an excellent option. San Diego's going to use that tight end. And so and Danny Woodhead has been a kind of a sleeper pick in a lot of drafts that I've seen, and I see nothing here to that would dissuade me that's a good pick a little later in the draft. So I see good things in San Diego's future. Like I said, the biggest thing is that I feel like they're playing. They want to prove that San Diego should stay in San Diego. That the Chargers should stay in San Diego. I think that's a huge incentive for them. And I think they make the playoffs.
All right. 10-6 and make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your favorite fantasy nuggets?
Well, just, you know, Phillip Rivers. And you know, the funny thing about Rivers is in a lot of the drafts that I've seen, he's going as late as round 7 and 8. People are crazy. He's a really good quarterback that you can get at a value. Take him. Take
I agree
take
with you.
Rivers and take his receivers and take his tight ends. Not Gates with that 4-game suspension. I would leave him alone for until the later rounds. But somebody's going to take him early, so that won't really be an option. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
That's what I have to say about San Diego.
Very nice. And I'll just piggyback off of you bringing up their tight ends. Gates was interviewed not too long ago, and he was actually talking about the complexity of the playbook when it comes to tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tight end will probably be the most effective receiver in their offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like I'll touch on it, but you did mention earlier about the rapport between Rivers and Gates.
Mm-hmm.
Green is a young tight end who's kind of built like Gates and can move like Gates. So maybe
mm-hmm.
that's a baby Gates. So yeah, I'll keep an eye on that tight end position.
Yeah,
keep a look on that. My take on the Chargers, as far as the strength, I mean, it's pretty obvious. They have Phillip Rivers. They signed him to that huge deal, $83 million, I believe. And so he has to be the strength of the team. He's the heart and soul of the team. He makes that offense go. And also another strength that, you know, was surprising to me was on total defense in 2014, the Chargers were ranked ninth with 21 points per game allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have Rivers,
mm-hmm.
yeah, if you can, you know, if you show up on in the standings as total defense ranked number nine, that's not bad. And so they will be in a lot of games, going to be competitive. So their strength is on the offensive side. But as far as a weakness, I'm a little concerned about their run game. Matthews is in Philadelphia now. They did draft Melvin Gordon. But last year, looks like they were ranked 30th in the run, 85
mm-hmm.
yards a game. So they have to up that.
Matthews was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want to see the Chargers at the bottom of the of rushing. And then they're passing for 4,000 yards on you know, as far as offensively goes. So they need to get more balance there. And Gates
mm-hmm.
missing four games, that's important because, you know, that's an important piece of their aerial attack.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I have the Chargers at 8-8. I mean, that's only two games off of, you know, your prediction, Lady D, and Zach, your prediction.
Those are huge two games off, yeah.
In the NFL world, that is huge. But, you know, two games, I have a two-game difference there. And mainly because their schedule's kind of is interesting to me. You guys, you know, got me hip to looking at the game per game. And it's just looking like they have a lot of favorable matchups, and then they have a lot of tough ones. And it seems like it's, you know, when you look at Pittsburgh, Green Bay, you know, Cincinnati, Jack's team, the Ravens, you got to play Kansas City twice, Denver twice, Miami. So it's looking like out of those games, you know, I see them looking at about an 8-8 season. They'll make a push, but I just think they'll fall just a tad short in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the state of Missouri, the Show Me State.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what the Chiefs can show us. Lacey, would you like to start us off in Kansas City with some strengths, weaknesses, your predictions, and your fantasy outlook?
Kansas City is one of those teams that I know they usually have a good record. They're just really hard to get excited about. Although, to their credit, the Kansas City fans have no problem getting excited about them in Arrowhead. That's for sure. That is a loud stadium. So they've definitely got the support of their fans, and those are some good fans.
Hey, what about the tailgate? What about the tailgating they do? I love the highlights right before the game.
They got some good stuff going on there. But you know, Kansas City, I think I didn't see them make any great big strides. I didn't see them going backwards. I think they're pretty stagnant this off season, in my opinion. I didn't see a lot of movement. I don't see a lot of changes. I see that Dwayne Bowe is gone and Jeremy Maclin is there, but Alex Smith is still the quarterback. And you know, I was looking at the depth chart for Kansas City, and I looked at the wide receivers. And I'm like, okay, Jeremy Maclin, he's pretty good. But then when I look at the rest of them, Jason Avant, I don't know if Andy Reid is trying to reassemble Philadelphia and Kansas City, I'm not sure what's going on there. But
Midwest.
I don't even know who Albert Wilson is, but he's second in the depth chart. That scares me. I don't see Jeremy Maclin having a lot of success in Kansas City, just because there's just no weapons around him. That may be what happened to Dwayne Bowe. You kind of get lost in the shuffle because this division for sure has other teams that have good secondaries who will take away the number one receiver. And since there's no real number two, that's why he keeps throwing it to the tight end. So
wow.
I don't see any improvement in the passing game, even with the addition of Jeremy Maclin, because he needs some help. As far as the running game, of course, Jamaal Charles and, there's nothing there. I can't say enough about that guy. But this is basically a fairly one-dimensional team. And Kansas City's their motto, even with Andy Reid, there seems to be that they do just enough offense to get by. And just enough to get by is not how you're going to make a Super Bowl push. I don't think so. They do have a great defense, but their offense is so tepid that it's, other than, they've got a great running game, but their passing game, you just are not going to get very far in this league with this kind of offense. Alex Smith is just not if you always want to be okay, then he's your guy. But if you want to be better, you're going to have to either train him to be a better quarterback, and I think he's 31, or you're going to have to go get somebody else. I don't see that he leads them to the Super Bowl, and they have their secondary is okay, so Kansas City's their strength is obviously their defense. They're gonna make sure that the other team isn't really running away with it. And Jamaal Charles is gonna do his thing. But when they're playing Denver, when they're playing even San Diego, when they're playing Green Bay, when they're playing Detroit, when they're playing Pittsburgh, they're going to fall behind, and they are not able to catch up.
Right.
When you got to put the game on Alex Smith's shoulders, you're gonna lose that game. Every time, well, almost every time. Let's say two out of ten. Two times out of ten, you may win that game. But Alex Smith is not the guy that's gonna lift you up above these teams. And even in the division, they've got to play San Diego and Denver twice. Those offenses, they just are not going to be able to hang. I have Kansas City going 9-7. And which is what they did last year, because in my opinion they didn't make any real improvements. And I have them 9-7 and finishing in third place. As far as your fantasy picks for from this team, are you kidding me? Jamaal Charles, yes. Travis Kelce, that's a tight end,
yes.
Jeremy Maclin, take him at your own risk. I wouldn't recommend it, and I say that. A couple of weeks in, maybe whoever has him, if he's doing a decent job, maybe you trade him for something else. But the place that you have to take him in fantasy drafts is he's just going way too high. So I say leave him alone. There are other better options out there and other better offenses. And that's my take on Kansas City, 9-7, not making the playoffs.
9-7 and on the outside looking in.
Yes.
Zach, give us your insights on the Chiefs.
Well, this is going to break my rule that I have about teams, because I always say you coach quarterback combination.
Right.
And Lacey just got on Alex Smith a whole lot, but his career winning percentage is 542, which, while that's not spectacular,
okay,
it's not bad either, especially when you look at his first few years in the league. He was playing with a San Francisco organization that was kind of putrid. So Alex Smith, as I said, he's not Peyton. He's not Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. But
he's not.
There's a whole bunch of guys that aren't those guys. You just
talked
about
Philip
Rivers.
He didn't throw a single touchdown to his wide receivers last year.
But
not one.
But one of his wide receivers' name was Dwayne Bowe. I mean, Dwayne Bowe ain't going to the Hall of Fame or anything like that. He's not a household name. So
he's a wide receiver.
Yeah, and
that's
there's
what he's
a whole
there
bunch
for.
Of there's a whole bunch of them that come into the NFL and leave the NFL every year. That's just how it is. So I'm not going to tell you that Alex Smith didn't have anything to do with that, but I also remember Alex Smith getting the San Francisco 49ers to the NFC Championship. And
oh, he did
that,
No, he didn't do it. That
well,
wasn't him.
But once again, we can say that about anybody. Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl, but he was sitting on the sideline while Seattle was on the two-yard line, and Malcolm Butler made a play. Malcolm Butler doesn't make a play. Tom Brady is 3-3 in the Super Bowl instead of 4-2. So it's a team sport.
But how did they get to that point, though?
Okay. Well,
did they get all the way to that Super Bowl without Brady?
No.
Probably not. But I can say this. At that time, San Francisco probably doesn't get where it got to without Alex Smith, behind center. We act like everybody on the planet can play the quarterback position. I think I said this earlier, and I'll just say it again. There's not 32 people in the world that play quarterback at the professional level at a high level. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get somebody that is
– Alex Smith is one
enough,
of them.
No, Alex Smith is a competent, average, and actually probably slightly better than average quarterback. He doesn't have the physical talent, but what he does do is – he reads the defense. He manages the offense, if you want to say game manager. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. As I said, he doesn't make a lot of plays, but he's at least decent to send out there. With
he's
all
a
of
manager.
That,
he manages.
But that's okay. You
yeah,
can deal with
it's
that.
Okay. But that doesn't make him a top-ranked quarterback.
I didn't say he was a top-ranked quarterback. We're not talking about fantasy, Ms. Lacey.
Oh, I'm
We're
sorry.
We're talking about winning on the football field. And when you want to win on the football field as a coach, you want somebody behind center you can have confidence in. Colin Kaepernick has a whole bunch of talent, potential. He can do this fantasy stuff. But when you
want to
win on the field, he did. But we're not – and I know we haven't got to them yet, but what are we going to say about Colin Kaepernick? Because his performance on the field last year wasn't great, and the year before wasn't necessarily great.
But we'll definitely cover that in our future show.
You put him in Kansas City and he'll look good.
Not necessarily. That's
I
not
think
necessarily
so.
True.
Yeah, but we'll definitely cover that in the next show or two.
Yeah.
But going back, outside of Alex Smith, Andy Reid is an outstanding coach in the NFL. He's another one. Falls into the Philip Rivers category. If he had a championship,
yeah,
you would look at him differently because of what he's done in his resume.
Yeah, he's an awesome coach.
Because of that,
he's an awesome coach.
You're
right.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Kansas City's defense right now is going to be their strength, particularly when you look at their outside rushers with Justin Houston out of University of Georgia. They had 20-plus sacks last year. And Chamba Holly out of Penn State. Those guys get pressure on the quarterback, which does things to help the defense manipulate what the offense does. Don Terrio is a Pro Bowl level defensive tackle. He's having some injury issues right now, but hopefully they get him back. And they also went out and they drafted Marcus Peters to help them in the secondary. He's a guy that got dismissed from the University of Washington. So he's had some discipline issues, but now that he's playing for a paycheck and now that he may be in a professional atmosphere and you got adults that can get on him a little more, I think he may be a productive member of the Kansas City Chiefs group, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him starting at the end of the year. He has a lot of physical talent. So the defense is going to be their strength. Add to that, Jamaal Charles.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go defense. I'm going to go Andy Reid, and I'm going to go Jamaal Charles as a strength that helps them out. Now, passing game is a weakness, as we just went over. Alex Smith is not going to wow you with an arm that's going to throw it, you know, 60, 70 yards down the field. That's not what he does. But luckily, you don't need to do that to win. He can turn around, hand the ball off to Jamaal Charles. He has Travis Kelce at the tight end position, which Ms. Lacey can probably – tell you a lot about this guy. He's a good tight end football wise and a good tight end fantasy wise.
He is.
Once you don't get one of the top tier guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they went out and they added a fantasy guy that was built for fantasy, and Jeremy Maclin from Philadelphia, who Chip Kelly, Andy Reid has familiarity with, because he was there when they drafted the guy.
Right. He drafted
the offense should be better. I guarantee they're going to score a touchdown with the wide receiver this year. I guarantee it. So I like Kansas City, and I like Kansas City because of their structure, and that starts with Andy Reid. So I'm probably putting a little too much in Alex Smith, but I just believe that Andy Reid will get the best out of Alex Smith, and he has so far. So I got them 10-6, and Kansas City is going to finish second in the division and make the playoffs.
Wow. Okay. 10-6, playoffs.
Absolutely.
In the words of Jim Moore. Okay. Does that cover everything? Do you have is there anything else you'd like to add on about the Chiefs Act?
No.
Before I move forward?
That's not for me.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything else for you, but for the fans, I'll go ahead and just give my take on the Kansas City 2015 outlook. For Evan's strength, I have the Chiefs' defense as their strength. Last season, giving up 17 points a game. They should have a couple of returning defensive players like Derrick Johnson and Mike DeVito. They both were injured last year with ruptured Achilles, but they're back. Justin Houston, you know, has that $101 million contract. So their defense should be very aggressive. It should be very, very solid. Another strength of them is also Jamaal Charles, obviously, the all-purpose back that they have. Playing with Andy Reid, you know, in the run and passing game, Charles should be a weapon. Alex Smith will use him, and he also will use Kelsey. But the issue that I have with the Chiefs is their points per game. You know, they need to up that if they're going to compete with the Chargers and the Broncos, if they want to get in those shootouts with those guys. 25th last season, 22 points a game. They're going to have to get that number up at least to about 26, 28 a game, points per game. They only passed for 198 yards per game last season. So that just ties back into, you know, the issue I have with them as far as the moving the ball in the air. They're going to have to be a little more diverse there. With all that being said, I have the Chiefs at the record of 7-9. And again, it's not a knock on the Chiefs. It's just, I just feel like, you know, based on the imbalance there, teams will be able to lock in on them. And I just feel like it'll be competitive, but 7 wins, 9 losses is what I have for the Chiefs. Now, heading over to.
Did you say 7 wins, 9 losses?
Yeah, 7-9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So heading over to Denver, Colorado. This is probably the team that many may feel will win the AFC West. We'll find out what our panel thinks. Lexi, the Denver Broncos, strengths, weaknesses, your prediction, and the fantasy take.
Denver is, they're just kind of poised to just do the same thing all over again, even with the loss of Julius Thomas, and they will feel that. But they have the whole package. They really do. You know, Peyton Manning is a top quarterback, fantasy and otherwise, and he's a game manager. He can do both. He can multitask that way, and he just makes his team better. They've got a running game that should be even better this year. It, you know, they got some people coming back healthy. They haven't changed a whole lot. They didn't really need to. Their defense, their secondary. I mean, they just have all the parts are working together. The only real downside for them, the only real weakness for them is their tough schedule. I think in their division, They've got some tough contenders in their own division, so you know that's going to be a hard-fought battle. And I feel that they split with San Diego and Kansas City, perhaps. You know, they're going to finish in their division no worse than 4-2, and very close to. It's even possible for them to finish 6-0, but it's not likely. But I think they don't finish any worse than 4-2 in their own division. They're going to have to do battle with Baltimore and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. And Cleveland, they also have to play Indianapolis and New England, so they've got a tough schedule to contend with, which I think at some point that will wear you down. You know, the games in Denver, you know, Denver is a hard place to play. You know, from what I understand, I've never been to Denver, but that mile high air. You know, takes a toll on the other team. You know, when you're not used to dealing with it, and so half of their games they've got an advantage just playing in Denver, and you know they just have all the weapons that make them, you know, a favorite in most of these games, even against the AFC North and the NFC North. I see Denver. They finished last year at 12-4. This year, I'm saying 11-5 only because of their tough schedule. Yeah. And that's the only reason. As far as fantasy purposes go, you can take almost any Bronco, you know, and feel good about it. You know, Peyton Manning, you know the receivers. You really haven't, you know, doesn't have a lot of. There's no real changes there. Again, Julius Thomas will be missed, but Owen Daniels. You know, he's following Kubiak around, apparently. But I mean, you know, there's just no bad offensive players for Denver. They just aren't. And I see them, you know, 11-5 because of the schedule and winning the division anyway.
Okay, so otherwise you would have had them with more wins, more than 11 wins?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only way it could be worse is if they were playing the NFC West, you know.
Okay.
It's pretty bad, you know, for them, you know. So that's the way I see it.
As far as fantasy, how do you feel about Peyton Manning? Do you think are you surprised that his average draft position for this year has dropped so drastically?
Oh, I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, we all saw. You know, what happened down the stretch for Denver, you know, he was apparently, you know, we found out after the fact that he was really, really injured, you know. We know that he's really, really good when he's not. So I'm not surprised that he's fallen like that. I think that smart owners, if he's around in the fifth or sixth round, pick him up. He'll do you some justice if you do. I think that it's not. He hasn't just suddenly gotten bad. He was injured and he was trying to play through it, and that didn't really work out. But he should be healthy this year, and he still got it.
Okay. Well, Zach, how do you feel about the Broncos with Kubiak in town this year?
Well, first off, I'd say I actually like him as a coach. I think he's a I don't think he's a great coach. But I do think he's a good coach. He would have been better in Houston had he had a better quarterback, which he does have a better quarterback now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this quarterback is not the quarterback that he was in the past. But Denver's going to be fine. With Denver, we don't have to worry about the regular season. If you're
okay,
I mean, I'll just cut to the chase, and it probably goes without saying. I'm sure our listeners are pretty smart. And they get that I have Denver picked to win the division, which I do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to win the division with an 11-5 record. Denver's
division
is going to come when we get to the playoffs, as always, and we'll talk about that when we get to that segment or when we have that show. But they're going to finish 11-5. And the simple reason, if you want to go with anything, is because Peyton Manning's there. And if we just start going back on Peyton Manning's record, 12-4 last year, 13-3 a year prior, before that 13-3, before that 10-6, before that 14-2.
Wow.
Before that 12-4, before that 13-3.
Well, we'll put it that way. Yeah.
Are you trying to say that Peyton doesn't lose often during the regular season?
I mean, Peyton Manning if you were to do a prototype of what the quarterback is the quarterback what you want? Unfortunately, playoff success has not followed him as a Tom Brady how you would like it. And it could be because Peyton is just so good. In a similar way to how LeBron James has a difficult time in the finals.
Okay.
But Peyton is a he's the quarterback. He makes guys better. Like, I don't even care who he has on offense around him. He's going to make them better. He shows up, you're going to win 10 games. So they're going to do well in the regular season because he masks I guess, problems that you have. Emmanuel Sanders, I want to say, had his best season he had as a pro playing with Peyton last year. And he played with Big Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm.
Marius Thomas. And I'm sure some of that growth that you get from, you know, being a more mature player, but he goes from playing with Tim Tebow, which I guess this isn't really saying much to hammer home that point. But he goes from playing with Tim Tebow, and all of a sudden, he's a Pro Bowl receiver. Eric Decker gets a big payday with the Lacy's team because he played with Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Go Jack. If you're a functional offensive player, or even if you want to say not functional offensive player, he's going to make you better. That's just what he does. Now,
yeah.
As I said, championship-wise, we don't need to focus on that right now. But they're going to win the division. They will be 11-5. And he is the strength of the team. Add to that they brought in Owen Daniels, I believe that someone said, following around Gary Kubiak. I actually think Owen Daniels will be fine. I know they lost Julian Thomas and people. I heard a podcast the other day. I want to say that was a Mr. 411's podcast where he said we're going to find out did Julius Thomas make Peyton or did Peyton make Julius Thomas.
I think we already knew.
Ask him, Mr. 411.
Yeah. No.
Thank you.
Peyton's been around for a long time.
And if I may say, fans, please download that. Download that, and it will definitely help you in your fantasy draft. Okay, back to you, Zach.
Peyton will be fine without that guy because whether it's Jacob, Tammy, I can't even remember the other tight end he had in Cleveland. I mean, But if you just stick guys around, Brandon Stokely or whoever, he's going to make them better. Like C.J. Anderson. A lot of people are picking C.J. Anderson up in fantasy and everything, and they're talking about him and how great he is as a running back. Take Peyton away from out there behind center, and we see how good this guy really is.
Mm-hmm.
Also, going on in the strength, I like the pass rush that they can bring.
Yes,
they can really get after you with DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. They both should be healthy this year, so that should be a problem for the other team. And Peyton does a good job of getting the team up, so he allows the defense to kind of pin their ears back and go after guys, which is can be a scary thing. I can't think of the corner they have off of the top of my head, but he's actually, I want to say it's Chris, I can't think of his last name right now. But he's just a cusp below probably of when you start talking about Revis. How can I forget old boy in Seattle? He's already running his damn mouth.
Sherman.
Yeah, there you go, Sherman.
That's all you had to say, running his mouth.
Yeah.
And then and then even the guy in Arizona. He's a cut
Patrick
under those guys at cornerback. Patrick Peterson.
Yeah. Peterson.
He's a cut under those guys. But he's a very good corner. I've said all that to say I can tell you about Denver's weaknesses, but honestly, their weaknesses don't matter right now until they get to the playoffs. And we'll talk about that on the playoff show because as long as Peyton Manning is showing up to play, Denver's going to be fine. I mean, I could go coach the team and they would win.
And you probably could play the flat too, right? You could play the flat.
And you know what? He'd probably give me a touchdown and give me at least 200-300 yards.
Chris Harris?
And then get you a fat contract in Washington, D.C.
Once again, everybody's down on Peyton right now, but if he stays healthy, and I know he's older, but if Peyton was to go out and win a Super Bowl this year, I guarantee people would slow that talk on Tom Brady is the greatest, and Peyton is that guy. The only thing I don't like that Peyton did that I would have loved to have seen him do, it would have been nice to see him take the, you know, Tim Duncan or Dirk Nowitzki kind of discount. Because if you're Peyton Manning, and I can't get these guys pocket books, so I ain't mad at them at all. But if you're Peyton Manning, why not make $1 or $2 million a year, whatever the minimum is for a guy your age? You could have kept Julius Thomas, even though I don't think you need him. But say you're getting more offensive linemen or you're getting whatever, because you don't really need the money. And that is what you see with Tom Brady. So if you want, and at this point, all we care about with Peyton is winning titles, and similar to Kobe Bryant. Those guys, what they do in the regular season doesn't matter. Their season is a bust if they don't win a championship. So I'm not going to tell you how the Broncos are going to finish, but I will tell you they're going to win the division. I know I went a little long, but Peyton Manning is a strength, y'all. Just mark that down.
Yeah.
And it is duly noted. I have the Broncos at 11-5. As far as a strip, I have two strips for them, their offense and their defense. Finished the fourth last year in offense with 30 points a game, and on total defense, they was ranked third. So they only gave up 79 yards, you know, per game on the ground. So they're gonna win 11 games. They could probably win 11 games in their sleep. But the question will be, like Zach mentioned said earlier, is what are they going to do in the postseason after they come off of that bye? Are they going to get upset like they did at home versus the Colts, or will they break through and at least get back to the Super Bowl for next season? I do want to mention that the only weakness that the only concern I really have with them is that they didn't really address the quarterback position. Let's just say for some reason Peyton Manning is not able to play for an extended period of time. Who are they grooming, and who's the next quarterback in line that could, you know, could run that show?
All bets are off.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You know?
You can't entertain that, because what happens if Andrew Luck goes down? What happens if Aaron Rodgers goes down? No, you can't even entertain that.
Well, with the team being so reliant on Peyton.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's just the concern that I have. I mean, because, like, a lot of these guys are plug-and-play guys, so that's just my concern there. But like Peyton does what he normally does, he'll make it through the season and it won't even be an issue. I guess I'm just kind of combing with I'm trying to find something with a real fine comb there, trying to find that needle in the haystack, just to have something to say about the
Based on last year, Denver fans really don't want to see another repeat where Peyton's playing hurt, because, it just kind of,
yeah,
it's not going to work out. Playing hurt is playing very badly, and he's getting older. He's going to be, these things that he could have bounced back from, 10 years ago, it's not going to be a bounce-back situation. So, you do have to factor that in when it comes to Peyton Manning, but, you have to just ride that until the wheels fall off. You can't sit around worrying about it. It's like, okay, I'll worry about that later.
It sounded like he was over at Elway's house yesterday. That's exactly what Elway was doing.
Who?
John Elway. I bet that's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say that football is a collision sport. I mean, technically, you can apply that to anyone that's out there. Aaron Rodgers got hurt a couple of years ago, and the Packers couldn't score. It only takes your tackle whiffing on a defensive end or outside linebacker one time, and QB doesn't see it, and now there you go. So I wouldn't worry about injury so much with Peyton, because he reads the defense so well and gets the offense in such good position that you tell me who you're taking over him in fantasy, and I think once you get past Aaron Rodgers and maybe Andrew Luck, it's probably going to be a toss-up. And as far as a quarterback that you want to lead your team, you telling me if you're a Cowboys fan, you'd really rather have Tony Romo over Peyton Manning? I just find that hard to believe.
Fantasy is a whole different animal, Zach. You know
that. While I was actually talking about it, in the actually behind the center. So either way you're looking at it, fantasy or behind the center, Peyton is going to be competing with a lot of those guys, I think, once you get past Luck and Aaron Rodgers. He's still got
better. Yeah, we'll soon find out. And you never know. Maybe RG3 will somehow end up in Denver. And he can just at least be that comparable backup. But Denver didn't have many issues, many things to worry about. Kubiak coming back to where he was once a backup to John Elway. I think the whole band is together, and it should be the arrow's definitely pointing up in Denver. Now, we're going to take a brief, and I mean a very brief commercial break. So, fans, we want you to just hang in there for us, and we'll be right back. And we're back. Today in sports history. I have a couple of nuggets for us for today. On August 22nd, and on this day in sports history.
You didn't ask me if I was ready.
Me either.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Lacey, are you ready?
I said I'm ready.
Fans, are you ready? In 1950, on this day,
Althea Gibson, she became the first black competitor in a United States national tennis competition. On this day in 1950.
Yay.
Hey, that is awesome. I mean, that is actually it may not seem like as much now, but back in that time, that was a something that was unheard of.
Exactly, and that ties in with if you fast forward to today, look at Serena Williams and Venus Williams, and especially with the way Serena's rolling this year, she's going for the year slam and the U.S. Open is coming up, mm-hmm. and it usually runs right into football season. So all that tied together beautifully. Also, this is one of my favorites. On this day in sports history, New York Mets pitcher Dwight Gooden. He becomes the 11th rookie,
of course,
to have 200 strikeouts.
What year was that?
1984.
Did they win the World Series that year also?
86.
Oh, that's nice. The Yankees won today. Just saying.
Okay, we'll save that for another on this day in sports history.
You can report that in 20 years, or what have you.
Duly noted. Duly noted.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one more nugget. In 1975. Speaking of Nuggets, speaking of Denver, the McNichols Sports Arena, it opened up 1975, August 22nd.
Okay.
Well, thank you for that information, Mr. Jones, or Mr. 411.
Yes, definitely Mr. 411. We don't know who Mr. Jones is.
Right.
And now I'll give you one more bonus nugget. Lacey, you'll know this one.
Will I?
Yes, I am. 1941. And I know you'll know this one. And I'm so confident that you will, that I bet all the money in Zach's pocket.
Okay.
In 1941, legendary football coach Bill Parcells was born.
Who?
Bill Parcells.
Bill Parcells?
Aren't you a Giants fan?
I am.
I know you would love that one.
Oh, yeah. You can feel the love, can't you?
Yeah. Because you are a Jets and a Giants fan. And
I am that. Yeah, I'm a New
Yankee
York fan.
And a Mets fan. And
yes. I'm a New York fan.
Okay.
And a University of Georgia fan.
Absolutely not.
Hey, you don't like supporting winners. I got it.
And speaking of UGA and college football, we have a show coming up on Tuesday. 401 Sports World podcast. We'll have another special guest on, and we will have the 2015 college football preview show. So, fans, stay tuned for that. That should definitely be worth the price of admission.
Sounds like fun.
Yes. So, until then, we thank you all for listening to our podcast. We look forward to you tuning in on Monday. And don't forget on Tuesday for our college football preview. And on Wednesday, we have a special guest, and it will be his first appearance. So we would like for you all to be ready for that. And I'll leave that as a tease. So on behalf of Lacey Dawson and Zach, I'm Mr. 411. We thank you, and you have a good night.
All right. Ciao.
Go Dawgs.